produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Full of his glory. We're so happy you've joined us again for another episode, another broadcast of Gems for the Journey, Wisdom from the Word of God. And we're your hosts, Matthew and Stephanie Garrity, and we are founders of Lehigh Valley Worship Center in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, founders and pastors, and founders of River of Heaven Ministries, which is a conduit, one of many conduits in the earth right now that we believe the Lord is working through in mighty ways to bring awakening, revival, refreshing, renewal, new life in Christ to communities, to cities, to regions, to nations for such a time as this. And obviously our nation, the United States of America, being at the forefront of that. Matter of fact, God's word says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And so the last several broadcasts, we've been talking about this gem of the upper room. And like I've said a few times now, many think of the upper room. When they think of the upper room, they think of Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, where it says in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, and then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, or the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so did you catch that? Where were they? They had entered, they went into an upper room, it said in verse 13. In Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and that place was the upper room. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so many theologians, many Bible students, many scholars understand that that is a very widely accepted expression and interpretation of the upper room. I mean, you understand that that is, it says it there in Acts chapter 1 and then Acts chapter 2. Where did the Holy Spirit come? He came to the upper room. But over the last couple episodes, the last couple broadcasts, we've been rediscovering some shadows and types in the New Testament or the Old Testament regarding that God was revealing the upper room all throughout Scripture, from all the way from the book of Genesis, where we found Noah in the upper room of the ark releasing the doves. And then we talked about Daniel in the upper room praying three times a day towards Jerusalem. We talked about Elijah and the widow in 1 Kings chapter 17, the resurrection power demonstrated of the upper room as the prophet crying out, asking the Lord to revive the widow's son. And the Lord hears the prayer of the prophet and revives the widow's son. Then we talked about the mystery of the upper room last week in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 10, where Elisha, the understudy of Elijah, visited a Shunammite woman and her husband, and they made for the prophet a small upper room that was located on the wall, and they put a bed for him in there, a table, a chair, and a lampstand. And we talked about how each of those really symbolizes something that we need to understand if we want to have that upper room anointing today. If we want to walk in that upper room anointing, we need to be in unity. We need to be humble. We need to be prayerful. We need to be intimate with the Lord. We need to be understanding that we hunger and thirst for righteousness and that we commune with Him. We need to understand that we rest in Him and that we're seated in the heavenly places with Him in His authority. And also that we have a fear of Him and an understanding that He is coming sooner than we think. Amen. And now, so today I want to look at a different aspect, another prophetic shadow and type, I believe, of the revelation of the upper room that we need to rediscover throughout Scripture, that God was speaking, that this is a concept from Genesis all the way to Acts. And I even believe, you know, the grandest upper room, if you will, is heaven, where it says that there's a great cloud of witnesses, where, you know, if you could call it an upper room, but really it's the expanse. It's just this amazing place that the Lord dwells in called heaven. But that's the culmination, I believe, of the revelation of the upper room. But let's key in on one of these other shadows and types today, and that's found in Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 through 17. And so here we find that Moses is the spokesperson for the Lord, that the people, you know, they heard from God, and there was this thunderous voice that came down on the mountain, and they were afraid. And so they said, oh, we never want to hear from the Lord again. We're scared. Moses, you go. And you go and you hear from the Lord and you come talk to us then. And really we see a picture of the prophet of God. The prophet speaks from God, from the Lord, to the people. And then the other side of that, really an intercessor is someone who speaks on behalf of the people to God. There's a whole other teaching for another time, talks about the ministry of the prophet, the ministry of the intercessor, the ministry of the priest and the king. But all these things are really together and intertwined. So Moses was a great prophet of God. And it says in Exodus chapter 24, starting in verse 12, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has difficulty, let him go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain. Key verse 15. They went where? It said they went up, but they went where? Into the mountain. And a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of where? The midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like the consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Uramansha tabakasa. Lord, I thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, may you bring us from the deep things of the Father, for you search the deep things, even the deep things of the Father, and you bring them to us. And so we just bless you. We thank you. Holy Spirit, teach us your word today, in Jesus' name. And so as we explore this, I call this the glory of the upper room. And we, you know, we just read Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, where Holy Spirit came down and he descended from on high. He came down as a mighty rushing wind. He filled the whole house. There was fire. There was glory. All these things really culminated in the birth of the New Testament church. But did you know that in Exodus chapter 24, I believe what we have is a shadow and a type of Pentecost? What's interesting is that this happened right around the time of the Feast of Pentecost, when the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain. And we know that it was Pentecost, obviously the Feast of Pentecost, where everyone was gathered outside. They were gathered all around. There were people from all these nations in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. And then God fulfilled Pentecost by pouring out his Spirit, which fulfilled the prophecy from Joel. After this, I will pour my Spirit on all flesh, and you will prophesy, sons and daughters, all these things. And so after the Spirit of God was poured out in that manifest move of God, everyone came stumbling out of the upper room, and they began to preach. And Peter preached to all those around, the Jews and the Elamites and Mesopotamia and Cretans and Arabs. They were all there for what? They were all there for Pentecost at that very moment. And so we look, and there's all these different, you know, groups that God has called over the years, really, as Gentiles who are non-Jewish people. But we have the same type of thing going on here in Exodus chapter 24. Because you've got the people of God, they came out from Egypt in captivity, and it says that they brought with them not just the Hebrew people, but there were others with them. There were others that they would call aliens that were with them, that had come out with them, that were not loyal to Egypt. And we know the saying that it took a very short time for them to be delivered out of Egypt, across into the wilderness, but it took a longer time to get Egypt out of them, because they had been in that bondage for 400 years. And so we find again in Exodus chapter 24, as we read a bit earlier, that God said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. And I will give you tablets of stone and the law of the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. And so Moses arose with his assistant Joshua. Moses went up to the mountain of God. And when he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has difficulty, let him go to them. But then Moses, in verse 15, Moses went up into the mountain. Jesus told them to go up into the upper room and wait. I find this text very interesting, because it doesn't just say that Moses went up to the mountain, up on the mountain, but he went into the mountain. God had actually hewn out a space in the mountain for Moses to go into. And we know later on in the word we read in Exodus that God actually hewed out what's called the cleft of the rock. He hewed out a place for Moses, you know, that Moses so famously says later on in Scripture. He says to the Lord, show me your glory. But God had already cut a place out for him, and he was able to place Moses in the cleft of the rock. And so that's what we see here. In 15, it says Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. We know in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came, and he was like what? A mighty rushing wind. That word in the Greek is pneuma. It speaks of the wind. It speaks of the Spirit. It speaks of a cloud. It speaks of breath. It's all intertwined. Verse 16, now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And so again, there was waiting. The people were told to wait in the upper room, to wait until the promise from the Father came, to wait until the manifest presence of God came, until they were touched by God. And we find here also in Exodus chapter 24 that they're waiting upon the Lord. Moses is waiting and resting in him. Verse 17, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And what do we see in Acts chapter 2? There was fire, cloven tongues of fire landed on each of the followers of Christ, all 120 in the upper room. And they were filled, and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Look at verse 18 here. It says, so Moses went where? Into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now, beloved, I'm telling you that we need to understand that it was not just Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, but there has been a concept, like I said, from Genesis all the way to Revelation regarding the upper room, regarding this understanding that God always calls his people. He calls his leaders, he calls his generals up to the mountain and into the mountain. Amen? And so we as the people of God, if we want to walk in this anointing of the upper room, if we want to walk in this revelation and power of the upper room. Many cry out, oh, we need a new Pentecost. I want to suggest to you that we need to rediscover Pentecost. We need to rediscover the upper room. We need to rediscover the elements of the upper room. And we can find some right here in Exodus chapter 24. We'll read it again in verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. And I will give you tablets of stone and the law, commandments which I have written. We need to be a people of the word. We need to be a people that's ready to receive the word if we want to walk in that upper room anointing, that you may teach them. We need to be a people that can receive the word with gladness. Verse 13, so Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. There's unity there. There's a picture of the younger generation with the older generation. Joshua is the understudy of Moses, and he's then to take over for Moses when Moses goes on to be with the Lord, really because of an error he made at Kadesh, which we find in Numbers chapter 20. But anyway, there is a unity, and there's a turning of the hearts of the fathers to the sons here, and also the turning of the sons to the fathers, as it talks about that really is the spirit of Elijah, the spirit and power of Elijah that helps to do this. But we find even this present here, that there is a multi-generational move going up the mountain in unity. And in verse 14, he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has difficulty, let him go to them. And so what else do we see here? We see a delegation of authority. We see an understanding of an apostolic order. And like, in other words, Moses, it wasn't just rising and falling on Moses, but he had his understudy Joshua with him. But notice then there was still an opportunity for the people to take their causes, their problems, and their cases before the others in the work of the Lord. But we know that kind of came as an issue later on because Aaron kind of got corrupted a little bit there with the golden calf. Then it says, verse 15, that then Moses went up into the mountain. Moses was obedient. And where did he go? He went in. He didn't just come up, but he went in. There needs to be an intimacy. There needs to be a willingness not just to go up, but to go in. There needs to be a willingness not just to go up, but just to go into the presence of God. Be in the shadow of the Almighty. Be under the shadow of God's wings. The understanding is proximity. Proximity to the Lord. Close. Obedience. Closeness. Intimacy with him. It's a mark of the upper room. And it said, a cloud covered the mountain, which speaks of the wind of the Spirit. We talked about that. Verse 16. Now the glory of the Lord rested upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses. So we need another element is to wait on the Lord. We must be a people that have patience, have long suffering. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. We must learn to wait upon the Lord and not be anxious, not try to get God to do what we want him to do. He is not a genie. I've said this before. We can't rub a lamp because he doesn't live in a lamp, and we can't command him to come out and give us infinite prayer requests. No, 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 no. He is the Lord God Almighty, and we don't pray to get him to do anything. We pray to come into alignment with what he already said was his desire to have, and that's his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we need to wait and rest upon him and then be able to say, okay, Lord, I'm listening now. What is it that you have to say? What's on your heart? If we want to walk in that upper room anointing, we need to be a people who hear the voice of God because we're patient and we wait upon him. Verse 17, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses is on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. We have got to be willing to stay the course. Not just stay for a little bit. Not just go from one church to another church. From one conference to another conference. Find a prophet here and go find another prophet. No, no, no. We need to be consistent on and in the mountain. We need to be consistent on and in the presence of God. Hallelujah. We need to be consistent in our walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. And so later then we look in Exodus chapter 25 through 31 chapters, we find that God gives Moses the law and the commandments. Exodus chapter 32 can be characterized as the golden calf chapter, because Moses comes down from the mountain and he begins to preach, repent. It's interesting because Peter did the same thing in Acts chapter 2 when they came out of the upper room and Peter began to speak to the people to repent and believe. And he said things like, you crucified him. He was calling the people to repentance. But then I want to look at Exodus chapter 33, because this is really where God says, okay, Moses, now you came up and into the mountain, but this is where the Lord says, now I've prepared a place for you, and now you're going to begin to understand what it is to walk in that anointing of the upper room, where God says, I've got a place by my side, a cleft, an entrenchment, a hewn out space in the mountain. Some may say the upper room. And it says this in Exodus chapter 33, starting in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people who you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it, and I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Verse 3, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. And when the people heard the bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments, for the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now therefore take off your ornaments, that I may know what to do to you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Verse 7, and Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that a pillar of cloud descended and stood upon the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked there with Moses. Verse 10, and all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Verse 12, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. There was a deep consecration. Verse 17, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. And I know you by name. And verse 18, and this is what I want to key in on here. Verse 18, he says, then please show me your glory. 19, he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Verse 20, but he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me. And you shall stand on the rock, and so it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you where? In the cleft of the rock. I will put you where? In the upper room. I will put you where? In a place where I have made, I have carved out, I have directed you to go to. And I will what? Cover you with my hand while I pass by. And then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. O shatarabashotokoshayata. Hallelujah. And verse 30, Exodus chapter 34, verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Verse 2, so be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain. And so he cut the tablets of stone like the first ones. And then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took his hand, the two tablets of stone. And now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. He proclaimed his name, Yahweh. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And then he said, now if I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. Hallelujah. The Hebrew word, the cleft of the rock, is the word selah. The word selah, it's the word found in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, where it says, and he said, the Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer. The best example of Sela is the 4th century, the capital of a kingdom known as Petra. It's a city literally built out of a stone mountain, and the inhabitants were able to successfully repel enemy attacks by utilizing the area's mountain terrain. In ancient times, people would run for the mountains when the army was coming to attack. The one achieving the highest ground often had the best defense. And this is where we get the old saying, head for the hills. Sela is a cleft or an opening made by a split or fissure in a mountain. It was one of the safest places to hide in early times. And friends, beloved, it is still on the mountain of the Lord where it's provided, as God said to Abraham, and even as he said to Moses, there is a place here by me that I have hewn out for you. I have hewn out for you a place. I've hewn out for you a fortification. I've hewn out for you, Moses, what? An upper room. An upper room. And so, friends, God bless you today. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for all the nations listening today, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for this continuous revelation of the upper room, this continuous revelation, oh God, of what you culminated with the birth of the New Testament church when you poured out your spirit, oh God, in Acts chapter 2. And the world was never the same. And oh God, I thank you for your wisdom and your revelation that we might rediscover the upper room, rediscover all the elements, oh God, and what it's like to begin to learn to walk in that anointing of the upper room. And like I said before, where many would be calling out for Pentecost. If that's you, if you've been calling out for a new Pentecost, I want you to think about this. Why don't you just rediscover Pentecost? Rediscover what God already said in his word. Rediscover the characteristics of walking and actually becoming a move of God. Many would ask the Lord, oh Lord, move, we need a move of God. And I hear the Lord saying, you are my move. You are the move of God. Rediscover and understand what my word says. Begin to yield to me in that area, and you shall have that anointing to walk even as those in the early church walked. For I say that you shall do greater things even than I did when I was upon the earth. For my body is many-membered, multicultural and diverse for such a time as this, to drive out darkness and to steer people to me as the light of their salvation, as the light of the world, says the Lord.
You can connect with us by going to our website, www.riveroftheaven.org, and clicking on the Contact Us tab. At this website, you can also support us by becoming a prayer partner with us as well, and also becoming a financial partner. Matthew has also recently published his first book, Holy Spirit, the Sevenfold Spirit of God. You can find more information on how to purchase this book on our website. The book is also available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple iBooks, and wherever other books are sold. If the bookstore does not have the book in stock, you can have them order it for you. We are currently hosting a prayer strike for our nation, the United States of America. We're praying every day for 50 days for our nation, each day focusing on one state. For more information about this, and to join the prayer strike with us, check out our River of Heaven Ministries Facebook page.
We just want to say thank you again for listening to this broadcast. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May He be gracious unto you, and may He give you His peace. Until next time, rediscover that upper room and rediscover the gems for the journey, the wisdom from the Word of God.
We sing holy, we sing holy, we sing holy is the Lord. We sing holy, we sing holy.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Paget.
Good day, Saints. Hope you are well. Good evening. Morning, Teng. Maybe physically, uko tulong eating. Impa moyeng hawuyo mo. Praise to Jesus. Just cry out to Jesus. Omojwete. Mathata ahao umtshele ubunzima obhekana nabo. Praise Jesus. Ulungile. He's good. He's gracious. He's great. Thank you, Jesus. Just plead for His presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise Jesus. Jesus again. Hey, don't hold back. Thank you, Jesus. It's just right there by your side. Hallelujah. Revival is here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Yay. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, invite your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, our comforter, our teacher, our great intercessor, our helper in times of need, in times of trouble. Praise you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, rest in us. Thank you, Jesus. Your presence, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Now you can sing. Now you can pray, even when you think your lips are not at a position of glorifying anything. You can sing with your heart and say, your presence makes me safe. Your presence makes me strong. Hallelujah. Oh, let's give God a clap offering. Let's give God a clap offering. He is so faithful. He is so faithful. Praise Jesus. Ngiyakubonga Nkosi enamandla, ngiyakubonga dwala lamadwala, ngiyakubonga Modimo sa tlholwe nke letho. Ga o tlholwe ke sepe Modimo ka, o a halalela. Seated on your throne, you are flawless, O God. Flawless. In that when we feel so weak and discouraged, sometimes we don't even want to hear anything that is called the word. But Lord, because of your presence that makes us safe and strong, that restores us. Rata go go leboga, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I'm reminded of the book of Psalm chapter 19. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Hallelujah. They are declaring God's glory. Hallelujah. Day after day, night after night. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. What makes you so silent about the word and the name of Jesus? Why do you find yourself so silent that you don't even want to talk about Jesus? Oh my God. Oh my God. May you restore your children, O Father, as they feel so weary, so discouraged, so hopeless. May you remind them that the heavens are declaring your glory day and night. Hey. Oh, Jesus, refe pina. If abana ba hau pina, iri ha go le thata motho a gone o bina. Praise you, Jesus. Iri their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. May your voice go out unto all the ends of the earth. May you sing your lungs out just for Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Just scream. Lwena ore, my Father, my Father, my Father. Just like Jesus. Jesus said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Praise you, Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out, Jesus, Son of David. Have mercy on me. Holy Spirit, cast not thy presence away from me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Uyakuzwa uNkulunkulu, uyakubona uNkulunkulu, angikuboni. Mara mudimo wa uhlwa, mudimo wa ubona. Kubima, ke understanda. Kobutlhoko ke understanda. But luckily, bleleng what the Lord is saying to us today. Praise you, Jesus. Verse 8 says, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Praise Jesus. So the precepts of the Lord. I want us to go to 7 first. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The law of the Lord, this book of the Lord, shall not depart of thy mouth. You should meditate, or you shall meditate upon it day or night, day and night, so that you may live according to it and prosper. Verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, flawless, reviving the soul. When you feel, akisa ho, naman. Why kisa tlokafale? Kana kwangwe, you are looking at people around you. Utsaba lo ba jetsa hore. Watseba mo gong ke tshwere ke lona. O shebile bana ba hao hore ke tshwere ke bana. O shebile situation hore ke yona e anke be manga se yone ke tlatsa maya. But Kirikowena, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. So you being the simple, because when life hits you so hard, even your wisdom, but when you draw closer to the statutes of God, the law of God, it makes you what? It makes you more wiser. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. U end up ubana li litabo. Praise Jesus. Ubana li litabo. Uta nohole heavy, Mary just tapped into the presence of the Lord. You tapped into the presence of the Lord. Before you know it, uta fella unale monati osa utaluhani. Praise you, Jesus. Why? It's because in the presence of the Lord there is liberty. Father, Abba Father, Abba Father, hallelujah, wamukhweletsa. Oh, Jesu, 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 oh, have mercy. Mercy. Kana konga osatswa mantswe mari wa gona fa Jesus, 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 have mercy. You know, you end up kneeling down and you just cry out, Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, have mercy. And Jesus will appear. I want to encourage you. Jesus sees your situation and Jesus will appear. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, my God. The statutes of the law are trustworthy, making wise the simple. They will make you wiser. Praise Jesus. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Amehlo akho azovuleka. Uthi kumnyama wena cha, akukho mnyama. Vumela Psalm 27 verse 1. Yenzakale in your life. The Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my salvation. Mageze azokusindisa. Intsindiso ikhona ekukhanyeni. Intsindiso in all dimensions. Uyamemeza nje. Oh Father. Father, oh Jesus, oh Holy Spirit, praise you, Jesus. Your presence makes me whole. Your presence cleans me. Your presence restores me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Continue to engage in the Holy Spirit. Continue to engage with Jesus. Uzombona unkulunkulu ayehle empilweni yakho. Ngiyawurata ngwana mrena mujuma wetse hantle. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Stay blessed. Good evening, saints. Hope you're well. The Lord is good. The Lord is great. He's gracious. He is gracious. He's faithful. All that you can just say this evening. Thank you, Jesus. Ujeso amakhotla. Woo! Praise Jesus. Heaven is your throne, the earth is your footstool. Praise Jesus. Ah! Let's sing along. Praise Jesus. Nta voice fela. Kitebula mlomo fela. Your mouth and your heart in sync. Let's go. Jesus. Hey. Omorena Jesu. Uamakuta. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Ooh. Hey, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hey. Yes. Jesus. Yes, praise him. In the beauty of his holiness, Mdumisa, enter the throne of grace. Mdumisa. Hey, Jesus. Ooh. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hey. Thank you, Jesus. May you grant strength. May you be a song. May you be salvation to the worshippers of the times. Thank you, Baba Benjamin. Jesus. Oh. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. May your unfailing love come to us, O God. Your salvation according to your promise. Hallelujah. Ooh, then we will answer the one who taunts us. Ooh, for we trust in your way. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. In your presence, there is liberty. Liberation of the heavy spirits. Liberation of a heavy heart. Siyabonga, Jesus. Siyabonga, ubukhona bakho. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Riyalebuka mthimo wakho. Umatla, umatla. Riyaphila. Reappeal in your presence, praise you, Jesus. You inhibit in the praises of your people. Thank you, Jesus. You don't leave us empty, praise you, Jesus. You leave us fulfilled. Woo! Praise you, Jesus. Butemba hao mudimu waka buwaru utula. Hey, Jesus. Butemba hao marana mudimu waka buwaru tlotaka oili. Retware patima, retware pila, praise you, Jesus. Only in your presence. There is nothing eripata lang hoba in your presence. Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much, Daddy. Thank you. We appreciate you. Raleigh, Jehovah. Ooh, Mulupuli, Moramodimo. Thank you so much. So we are on Psalm 119. The words of David says, may your unfailing love come to me, O Lord. Your salvation according to your promise. In the past days, we learned that He is our song, He is our strength, He is our salvation. He comes and redeems us. Praise you, Jesus. Woo! He commands His angels to carry us. Woo! Hallelujah! So that our feet may not strike the stones. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. So, may your unfailing love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. So her promise then totally yet, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, never will I put you to shame, praise Jesus. Or I will uphold with my righteous arm, yay, righteous hand, yay. Or then I will answer, verse 42, then I will answer the one who taunts me. So when you talk to God, Lord, do not leave me, let not your unfailing love. Again, I remember when you said you have loved me with your everlasting love. So that, Lord, I'm able to answer the one who taunts me. For I trust in your word. They taunt me. They taunt me. Ooh, ukhuluma noNkulunkulu lapho. In his holy sanctuary, you are bringing worship and praise. Ukulalele. Or do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth. Oh! Because manje masegu kubhetha masegu nzima, you start saying things that the Lord is not glorified ngazo. So the psalmist says, do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth. The word of truth is that is the promise of God, that I yes and amen. Hallelujah. Or for I have put my hope in your laws. So Lord, do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth. Lwena kamkopa today mdimaki. Oh Lord, save me from saying things that are not glorifying you. You say those things, or I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will always obey your laws. Always, always. Yeah, to say. Ntuse hore nete skatswa mlomo mwaka. Ntuse, Jesus, help me. You can cry out to God and say, help me, Lord, help me. So that I will walk about in freedom. For I have sought out your precepts. Bona, in the presence of the Lord, there is liberty, there is freedom. So go, ba, hore mudimu askaita, hore, Tafita, cast not thy presence away from me. Uchojalo ko Psalm 51. Ooh, restore the joy of my salvation. Ubani ke bona ka re pholoso e hantsi tsama ko yona. Yo! O ka re dia khopukela, so restore the joy of my salvation, because when I was redeemed, I remember the excitement, the joy that I had. People knew that Jesus is Lord because I was experiencing overwhelming joy. Or I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. Yes, yes, girl. Yes, boy. Hallelujah. Yes, man of God. Yes, woman of God. Yes, man of God.
Do not hold back. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. Kuluma, utter the words. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands by your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. Hey! Ubano oshola mazwi. Hallelujah. Ore ketabu. I'll speak your statutes in zobachela ngawe. Beta gunga peti. Gumnandi kubuhlungu, but I will talk about you. Oh, Jesus. Hey! Child of the Most High God, what's about Rumaru Konza Mang? What's about Rukonza Mang? Yeah? Kuhu puts a fellow. Oh, Urapela Mang. So how do you tata? Oscar Tula. Oh, let's say. Verse 79. Oh, may those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your statutes. May my heart be blameless towards your decrees, that I may not be put to shame. So when favor kai ketsetsanyon, usai ketsa steri, usai ketsa steri. Yay! Verse 38. Tafitori, fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Outori. Fulfill a promise now, so that but about time. Or take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. Take away the disgrace, because whatever bow hat Allah over a disgrace. But Aremo born and Mudimu Aremor. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. I man. Hey, Rekabuya Jalaka Tafita Lerona. That was verse 38 to 40. Of the same chapter, Psalm 119. Luena buele ntatemudimu tako sebe. Ntatemudimu, ona luena. Kusebele fela taba. Ekidi facts. I'm not trying to convince you here. Ona luena. How's that tibi sheba? Binering when I remember what the Lord has done. Ukhupo loro tuakai. Kiri mudima wetse hantle. Aretse hantle. In Jesus' name we pray. Stay blessed. I love you.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Litsolenyane, produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa. And welcome to this broadcast today. Brothers and sisters, I would like to talk about death. How do we, people in Christ or the body of Christ, process death? Do we get sorrow from hearing the death of a fellow believer? Or do we, to some degree, not really have envy, but rejoice on their behalf that they shall no longer be carrying no cross and receive their inheritance walking on the streets of gold? Death, like my old man describes, he said, imagine we're all following a queue of persecution. The one who went in first to receive persecution, should we feel sorry for them? Or should the one who went first, who's done with persecution, feel sorry for us, who still are about to go through it? The reason I'm today touching upon death, it is because, I don't know, I find myself thinking of my family members who are late. And You know, literally so. The stories I heard, and from what I've witnessed from some of them, through their last days of living, they really never cared for this life. They kind of looked forward to leaving this earth. They wanted to leave for good. They felt tired of carrying this cross-court life. They seeked for a change of scenery. Literally so. A major change of scenery. But you know what? I was told something before. Those who look forward to death are the ones that are confident of where they're going. They are the ones who know that they are right with the Most High. And that should the Most High return, they have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. Before going through reminiscing what all my late relatives that I heard of and those that I knew stated, let me show you how you, my brothers and my sisters, can be prepared for death. Let me give you an example of how you should be prepared for death, and why you should not fear death, and why and how you should just always be prepared and never care for this life. Not lose compassion, but don't care for it. That if your day was to come tomorrow, or in the next hour, or the next minute or second, you will surely have something to look forward to than staying into this battlefield called Earth. I would like to read from the book of Matthew 25. It talks about the 10 virgins. Let's read and let me explain how this signifies all. Signifies the statement of death. That I'm talking about. But anyways, I don't know if that's the correct term, but let's see how it links with what I'm talking about concerning death. But let's read. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now the 5 of them were wise and the 5 were foolish. Those who were wise, who were foolish, took their lamps and took no oil with them. See what happened there. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Please note that one. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Let's continue to verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Did you see that? But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Let's continue to verse 5. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. See that? But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. We're waiting for the return of the Lord, or we're waiting upon death. Death is delaying. The return of our Master is delaying. It's not at a time we expect him to return. But guess what? If you are like the five foolish virgins, you take your lamp but no oil. But if you're those who are wise, you take your oil with your lamp. Because we are all expecting the return of the Master, aren't we? But here's the problem we are facing here, or we are seeing here. It says in verse 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. They all slumbered and slept because the bridegroom was delayed. Our Master is delayed. We don't know the time, neither the hour. But even in being delayed, we are all to be ready. Are you the five wise who take their oils with their lamps, or are you the five foolish ones who take their oil, who take their lamps without oil? Assuming that the Master will just come, are we those kind of people? Our salvation is based on, I shall do this for some time, provided that Jesus shall come through at this time. Or are we those who say, we shall continue with what we do? Carry our oil, no matter how long it takes our Master to return, but we shall carry our oil in our lamps. Regardless of if it's in the next 1,000 years or next millennium, we shall carry our lamps with our oils, or shall we be called up there? We shall carry our oils with our lamps. Or are we those who are foolish, who just assume that we know Jesus, we become too familiar with him, and we just think we can take our lamps without oil? Let's continue. At midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. See, that's the problem. We want to depend on people's salvation. We want to depend on people's faithfulness instead of having the character, being pruned to have the character to carry our oils with our lamps. We try to benefit from people's good deeds or people's faithfulness to God, but we don't put that demand on ourselves. We try to put that demand on people. We see a man walking upright. We think that salvation is inherited. We see a godly woman just being sold out for Jesus. And when she becomes blessed, we want the same blessing. But we neglected to take their oil with our lamps. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. No, lest there should not be enough for you and us. There's no salvation that is you and us. Each and every person carries their own salvation. Each and every person carries their own cross. Regardless of if it's a married couple, regardless if it's an offspring and their parent, no one carries a salvation on your behalf. Carry your own cross, carry your own oil. There's not enough salvation to be shed. Each and every person has to have their own salvation, has to have their own relationship with God. There's not enough to share, but there is enough for each and everyone to have their own salvation with God or personal encounter with God. You cannot inherit it. You become familiar with God. You're not ready. Check what he says in verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Verse 11. Afterward, the other virgins came, also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, as assuredly I say to you, I don't know you. I do not know you. Watch out, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Did you see that, brothers and sisters? Now, to my story concerning death. This was way back then, before I was born, 3 years before I was born. I didn't know the man, but he was my grandfather. He abandoned his family for 18 years. When he was found by my old man, he returned for 3 weeks just to die. But you know what? They called him, or they privileged him, or afforded him the privilege to make right with God. Excuse me. But you know, he thought that God could still use him, as wretched as he was, but until reality set in place that he was old, he had throat cancer, he could barely talk. And making right with God, he actually started accepting his death. But he gave a story, or told them a story, saying, the train to hell is so beautiful. To those who are South Africans, think of the Gautrain. To people out of South Africa, think of the bullet train. This train is so beautiful. This train is so comfortable. This train travels so fast. It has many passengers in it. Where you are heading, it's promising that you'll head to where you want to head to. And then what happens? The train gets stuck. Everybody's asking themselves, what's going on? The train was operating well just now. But guess what? The train is not stuck. It has reached its destination. Guess where that destination is? It's the pits of hell. The train to hell looks so beautiful. It looks so glamorous. But like the word of Scripture says, the highway to hell is so wide that many go into, but the narrow way, which is God's way, only a few find. And those are your boring brothers and sisters who carry their oars with their lamps, those who are prepared for the coming of the Lord. And 3 weeks, he came back to, or he returned to his family and died. Second story. Now this was 10 years ago. With my grandmother, my late grandmother, the wife of my grandfather. She said, asked to call, or she asked for my old man to be called, and they called him forth. And she started telling the old man about a dream. That in this dream she had died. And goodness, the spirit of a man is so beautiful. What she saw is that she never had arthritis. She saw her wrist looked very young. But the way she described the human spirit, she said it was so silky as curtain or linen, or as silky linen. It looked so golden, so silver. It looked so majestic. And then she asked the old man, please release me. Please release me. I do not want to suffer on this earth no more. She said this in August and died the next month in September on her birthday. We go 5 years later. My uncle, my mom's elder brother, he literally gave up on life. He used to be the man about town. He used to be the golden boy. He used to be the guy with a very promising future, which, by the way, he had a promising future. But bad habits gave in or came into place, and he hit rock bottom. But now here's the thing. He always needed pity, but we tried to encourage him, but, you know, he just did not want to have any part of it, or part of, you know, seeing himself, to making something of himself. But then this year, in 2014, he fell ill. But even before falling ill, he kept telling me he's not going to see next year. He's just preparing me. And this man never showed any signs of illness. He just said to me, I'm preparing you, son. The day you hear the news, please don't break. Be strong. Don't be broken, be strong. I am going to a better place. Don't be discouraged. Then he fell ill. He needed nursing. One of his sons, or his son, actually, he asked to see his son on this specific day in that week. His son had excuses to see his father, saying that he has a lot of work to do. And, you know, with ease, the old man said, oh, no, it's cool. It's okay. He shall visit me next week at my funeral. And guess what? The Monday of that week he died. He passed on. How he was just awaiting death. Now this one really gave me goosebumps. This one made me really see that, you know what? You have no control over this life. 4 years later, the baby of the family, my niece, had communication with her sister, or was communicating with her sister, waking up from such an amazing dream that she had. She said to her sister, I dreamt I was under this white tent with all these other kids. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Father, help me. Whew, I'm getting chills now. We are under this tent with these children, and whatever God commanded us to do, we were able to do. And she turned around to her sister and said, I want to go to heaven. I want to go and see God. October of that year, she was involved in a car accident. She survived. She had a successful surgery. But after the surgery, or the day after the surgery, she passed on a Sunday morning. Let's see what the word of Scripture says. Are the words of Scripture says about death of the saints? Let's read a few. And I'll read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27. It reads as follows. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I see this one that encourages me more. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chikotu, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.